Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath the part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went out on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these series that Pastor Johnson has been preaching. What a challenge. What an encouragement to those that are saved. But yet what a challenge that we need to see others saved. God, please help us as Christians to hear what you have for us today. Help us to have hearing ears. Help us to be readily available to you and willing to you. God, work in our hearts and our midst. Empower Pastor Johnson for this task ahead. God, use him. And Father, if there is one in this room that is not saved, has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, then Father, today I pray they would settle that matter. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me have you take your Bible, look quickly at Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 9. It says, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's what will happen if your cell phone goes off during the service this morning. So I want you to check and make sure it's on vibrate or turned off, because we hate to have you consumed in flames and burn the person's clothes next to you. So help us with that, would you please? I'm going to ask you now to sit still and listen these next few minutes to the preaching. We have these last several weeks been covering the events and characters surrounding the second coming of Christ. Now remember this. The second coming of Christ is in two parts. When he returns for his own, comes to the cloud level, the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are caught up together, and we meet the Lord in the air and return to heaven. That's first part of second coming of Christ. That's the event that is about to take place. Each week now for these last 4 or 5 weeks, I've told you, I'm surprised we get to the next Sunday. But we have been given another door of mercy and grace, and that event of the return of Christ for his own could happen today. It is that close. It is that imminent. When we return to heaven with the Lord, the saved return to heaven with the Lord, we stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Sin is not judged, but our lives are examined to determine their worth and their value from the time of our salvation to that moment. Which means this, since the return of Christ is that imminent and that close, if you're a child of God, your life could be examined by Christ tonight. There's no time to waste with the life God has given us, doing what we want, like every day is just another day. It needs to count, and it needs to count for Christ. While the Christians are in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ on this earth, that event of us going to heaven starts a 7-year period called Great Tribulation. In that period of 7 years, 2/3 of the world's population will die. You do the math on 6.3 billion people on this earth at this moment. It isn't just an event, it's the most cataclysmic event that's ever taken place in the history of mankind. God's judgment, 30-some judgments of God, are poured out on this earth consecutively, one right after the other, unrelenting for 7 years. The occupants of the earth know it's the judgment of God. And the Bible says 3 different times in the Revelation that they curse Him for it, even though they know it's God. During that 7-year tribulation period on this earth, there is a main event character that rises. He is called the Antichrist. Initially, he is a man of peace, has all the resolution to the problems of the world, settles the Middle East issue, has all sorts of issues. He has one with him, who is called the false prophet. He is the leader of the world's religion, and he performs miracles, real miracles, not the phony stuff, the real deal. But it's not God miracles, it's satanic miracles. But people are deceived by that, because it'll be a day when people will just go with whoever has answers and believe anything that they see, kind of like today. Yes? This world has never been more ready and never been more ripe for the person of the Antichrist as it is right now. While the Antichrist rules and reigns this earth for that 7-year period of time, Jesus Christ returns at the end of that 7 years. When he does, he sets his foot down on this earth. But before he does, as we talked to you about last week, those armies of the world are assembled together in one great conflict in the Middle East over oil and the Dead Sea. They see Jesus Christ return, Revelation chapter 19. Literally, the eastern sky rips. Jesus Christ rides through with an army of people behind him, clothed in white. Amen? Clothed in white, coming back. Should have wore this when I preached that sermon that one Sunday. It would have looked better. And when they see Jesus coming, listen, they see him coming in the sky, returning to this earth. They fight. They turn against him. They don't fall down and worship. They mount up their armament and their equipment, and they fight. And that's the battle of the Armageddon. Great conflict where Jesus Christ comes back. The armies of the world are fighting against him, and there is this battle taking place. Now listen to me. Look at me this morning. They lose horribly. And Christ returns to this earth and establishes his rule and reign. In Revelation chapter 19, the conclusion of that chapter, verse 18 to 21, is basically a summary of the battle of Armageddon. These armies are defeated. The Antichrist is taken and cast into hell alive with his false prophet. And when you get to Revelation 20 and verse number 1, the beginning of the reign of Jesus Christ on this earth takes place after Armageddon is finished. Now look at me. The world, the earth is a mess. 7 years of God's judgment have come down on this earth. There's not a green stick of anything growing anywhere, hardly. There are no living creatures in the oceans. 2/3 of the world's population is dead, and believe me, there's not 2/3 of the world's population in cemeteries. It's a mess. And when Christ returns to the earth, Armageddon creates a valley filled with blood, and armies, millions of men strong, are slaughtered. And Christ comes back, and before he sets his foot on the earth to take over and to rule and reign of what's left on this earth, the Bible says, first of all, verses 1 to 3, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. 6 times in those verses that you read this morning, Revelation 20, verse 1 to 10, 6 times it mentions 1,000-year reign, 1,000-year event. There are many who believe or are what are called all millennialists. They don't believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I don't know what they do with Revelation chapter 20, but they don't believe in that. Look down there to verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. The Bible is very specific. Christ will come back, set his foot on this earth, and for 1,000 years he rules and reigns over this earth. The end of Revelation chapter 19, and again in the book of the Revelation, again, it mentions how he uses the power of the Word of God to subdue the nations. In Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the Bible talks about how that Jesus uses the Word of God as the rule of law for the entire world. He uses the Bible, that's the rule of law. He brings the world under subjection to his authority. And ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the history of mankind, this world knows peace. Now listen very carefully. It's not heaven on earth. We'll talk about that in a few messages coming up. We'll talk about the new heaven and the new earth and all that stuff. But it's not heaven on earth. But it is peaceful. The lion lies down with the lamb. You go to the United Nations, which I wouldn't recommend. But you go to the United Nations and there's this verse out there that they use about beating their swords into plowshares and all this stuff. That's someone who did not believe in the millennial reign. It was Woodrow Wilson. But someone who did not believe in the millennial reign of Christ thought that man could usher in a peace one day where there would be no more war and man would make peace with man and everything would be happy. And that's the whole concept behind the United Nations. Most worthless institution on this planet, is the idea that we're going to get people to get along with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, that passage in Isaiah that they use is talking about when Christ comes back and when he establishes peace on this earth, then they do beat their swords into plowshares. The lion does lie down with the lamb. And there is peace for 1,000 years. Satan is bound for that 1,000 years and not allowed to operate on this earth. One of the reasons that there is peace, you remove evil, you have peace. Think about that for a moment. For that 1,000-year reign, Jesus Christ and those who are saved and return with him, they rule and reign with Christ. What he does literally is he gives those redeemed, those saved people, he gives them positions of responsibility. Every president, every leader of every country, every mayor of every city, every dog catcher in any town is a child of God. Not the kind of stuff you see with politicians, some politicians nowadays, who profess Christ and then want to speak out of one mouth to the religious crowd to get their vote and then speak out of the other mouth, other side of their mouth to the homosexual crowd to get their vote. Not that kind of junk. The stuff where they're actually born again people, regenerate, glorified body, child of God people, and they rule and reign all the places of authority on this earth. Now for some of you today, that may sound like prison. The Bible is the rule of law. There is, ladies and gentlemen, there is for the first time in the history of mankind, pure justice. A system that is perfect, not flawed, not a system whereby if you've got the right lawyer and the right mouthpiece, you can get out of just about anything on some cases. Not a system that's bound up by laws that are not fairly and justly enforced in every case and situation. Pure system. The Word of God is the rule of law. Thou shalt not kill is applied purely and simply. Thou shalt not commit adultery is applied purely and simply. Thou shalt not steal is applied purely and simply. Thou shalt not covet is applied purely and simply. Thou shalt honor your father and your mother. That's applied purely and simply. You say, well, then the whole world is just Christians and Jesus. No. There are still a lot of people on this earth when Christ returns who are unsaved. And they'll see him. He goes to Jerusalem. He sits on David's throne and rules from David's throne. For 1,000 years, this world knows Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For 1,000 years, the Bible is the rule of law for everywhere and every place in the land. Pastor John, what about all the religions? There are no other religions then. There is Jesus Christ and the rule of the Word of God. And everything is brought under what is really a true ecumenical group. Not an agreement of mankind, but the authority of Jesus Christ and the Bible. And you come underneath that. For 1,000 years, he rules and reigns on this earth. And literally, do you know why they beat their swords into plowshares? Because there isn't any need for conflict. There isn't any need for war. Yeah, that's right, Pastor Johnson. Boy, religion has started a lot of wars in this world. That's true. Religion has, but not God. And not the Word of God. When everything is brought under control and authority, there really is a peaceful situation. Again, these messages are done in a Sunday morning format, and I cannot give you everything and follow all the scriptures. Believe me, the millennial reign of Christ could take us 6 months of Sunday morning messages to cover all of that, give you all the authority of scripture and everything else. I'm asking you to give me a little leeway in my explanation to condense this down, as it were. The beginning of the reign of Christ on this earth, two judgments take place. One for the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. He assembles Israel and separates them into two groups, sheep and goats. Saved, lost. Submissive, rebellious. And he judges the nation of Israel and parts them. Second judgment is the judgment of the nations. He brings every nation before Jesus Christ, and every nation comes under the hand and the authority of Jesus Christ. He explains to them what the rules and the guidelines are, and this is what you will do. He doesn't ask them. He doesn't take a UN resolution. He doesn't say, now this is what I would like to do. What do you think about it? It's non-negotiable. He is king. He is Lord. The Bible is the rule of law. You will submit. It is pure and it is simple. See, but where is the tolerance, Pastor Johnson? Where is the diversity? Good night. What are the Muslims going to do? What are the Hindus going to do? What are all these people going to do? Well, one, number one, they're going to find out that there is no Allah. It's the God of the Bible. Number two, they're going to find out there's not 330 million different deities in the Hindu religion. There is one. His name is Jesus. And there he is. And he brings them under that authority. He judges the nations and separates them out and lets them know that he is the final authority of all matters. Isn't it interesting? Listen. Complete authority brings complete submission, which brings peace. The earth is a mess. Christ and the saved that helped to restore and repair it to functionality. Satan is bound. Now watch carefully, please, and hold your Bibles open and look at verse 7. One of the saddest statements in the Bible is that Satan is loosed out of his prison. Revelation 20 and verse 7. When the thousand-year reign... A thousand years are expired. Satan is loosed out of his prison and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog. If you get a map of antiquity, look up those two names. Put them on a map in its geographical location and you'll see that that is the Soviet Union. Russia. Gog and Magog. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Wait a minute. 1,000 years of seeing Jesus Christ and 1,000 years of his reign on this earth, Satan is loosed, and in a moment he can amass an army of those who have seen the physical person of Christ and lived under the authority of Christ, and in a moment Satan leads them in a massive final rebellion. There are lost people on the earth during the reign of Christ, and there are lost people who will see Jesus and still not get saved, still not trust him as Savior, and still will resist him. It says in verse number 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the city of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. After 1,000 years of Christ's reign in peace, in a moment, Satan amasses an army and they go after Jerusalem and they try to conquer Christ. Again, and these are people who have seen him. This is not some people who don't have believe by faith. These are people who have actually seen Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that a person who dies at the age of 100 during the millennial reign of Christ will die like a child's death. They'll be so surprised. People's lifetime will be extended. Peace and authority, peace and submission, and Christ's rule and reign improves your health. By the way, in the millennial reign of Christ, everyone eats fried okra. Just wanted to put that in there. That's in the Hebrew. You'll find that. You know what we learn from the millennial reign of Christ? We learn that there's peace in submission to Christ. There is peace in submission to Christ. Well, we can't get the world to do that, Pastor Johns. It's way too... I'm not talking about political stuff. I'm not talking about the religions of mankind today. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about peace in your heart and your life. First of all, there's peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, listen to me. The most important thing in your life is peace with God. That's where, and by the way, peace is on, there's always two sides to peace. God's side and my side. Do not be deceived into thinking that as long as I'm at peace with God, everything's okay. He may not be at peace with you. Did you ever think about that? Did you realize that peace with God means God's at peace with me and I'm at peace with Him? Peace with God, according to the Bible, comes when I'm justified in the sight of God. That's salvation. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is at peace with you. And until you do, no peace with God. No matter how you feel about it, no matter how much at peace you are, well, I'm at peace with things, Pastor Johnson. Everything's okay, and I've made my peace with God on my own terms. Problem, friend, is you have a halfway peace. You have a peace that's not sufficient. You have a peace that does not stand with the God of heaven. He's not at peace with you. The Bible tells us very clearly, friend. He that hath a son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen now. And the wrath of God abideth on him. God's still not at peace until we accept Christ as our Savior. Peace with God. That has to happen. Has that happened in your life? Have you made peace with God? And has God made peace with you? He did that through His cross, through the cross of Christ and the payment that Jesus made. You must accept the payment Jesus made for your salvation and receive that payment as your only hope for eternal life. Then you have peace with God on His side and yours. The peace that we need that comes in submission with Christ is peace with God. Now take your Bible quickly. Turn to the book of Philippians now, chapter 4, very quickly, please. Philippians chapter 4. There is another type of peace you need, and I need. That's peace with God. Then you need the peace of God. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Turn quickly, please. Philippians chapter 4. We'll go back to Revelation in a moment, so hold your place there now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See the peace of God? Look here. Peace with God, salvation. Peace of God, that's submission in prayer. Be careful for nothing. What worries you today? What you need to do is put your worry to prayer energy. Stop worrying about things and put... Does anyone here not worry this morning? You don't worry about anything ever. Thank you, Al. See that hand, that lady over there? God bless you. For the rest of us today, the truth is there are times when we do worry about stuff. Yes? True. These are the only two good Christians in the whole entire room. The rest of us are all messed up. I only raised my hand to show you what to do. Yeah, there's times when Mike Johnson worries. But the Bible said, be careful for nothing. And nothing in the Bible means nothing. Nothing from the past. Nothing in the present. Nothing for the future. Nothing that besets our trouble. Because what you do instead of worry is you commit it to God in prayer. Oh, yeah, you just pray. No, you don't just pray. You pray like God's the only hope you've got. And when you do, the Bible says, by prayer and thanksgiving with supplication, you let your request be made known unto God, and God replaces worry with peace. But that takes submission. And I submit to that. Okay, I'm not going to lay here and just fret about it. I'm going to lay here and pray to God about this thing. I'm going to commit this matter to God. See, we've lost our confidence that there's a God in heaven who can answer prayer, and we've lost our confidence that prayer still moves the God of heaven who answers our prayers, and we quit praying. You pray instead of worry, God gives peace. Peace with God, peace of God. But wait a minute. Go down just a couple of verses. Look at verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Think about it. And no, that doesn't say that. Seen in me is the two-letter word. It's what after seen in me? What's that two-letter word? Oh, and the God of peace shall be with you. Peace with God, peace of God. Whoa, there's one more. The God of peace himself. How does that come about? Do. Those things you have heard and seen and learned and received in me, he said, do it, Christian, do it. Take what you know you should be doing and do it. Quit talking about it. Quit standing around going, well, one of these days when I think about it. Do it. Get it done. Do it. Apply. But to do it means I have to submit. See, submission to God and Christ always brings peace. And the troubles of our hearts and our lives is not about the economy. It's not about our life. It's not about our family. It's not about our battles. It's not about our health. It's not about these issues. The troubles of our life that rob us of our peace come from the fact that there are areas of our life that are not in submission to Christ. Because the millennial reign of Christ is this. He comes back. He establishes absolute authority. Then there's submission. Then there's peace. Guess what? What works for the millennial reign of Christ works for a Christian today. Peace comes from submission. What area of our life is not yielded to God? It's not under the authority of Jesus Christ. Oh, we got our own agenda, we got our own plans, we got our own program, and we wonder why we don't have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. That'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what the millennial reign means? Pure peace comes from submission. You know what the millennial reign of Christ is? It means God gives us one last chance. Back to Revelation 20, please, if you would. For 1,000 years he binds Satan. Why in the world does he have to let him out? I hope one of the jobs we get during the millennial reign, we get to go by and throw rocks in that pit. I would just like to throw a few rocks on that boy. Doesn't he know? Doesn't God know that Satan is the head of rebellion? And that's exactly what's going to happen. Well, it's recorded in the Bible, God's book, so he knows it's going to happen. But is he giving him a chance? He's giving mankind one last chance. The 1,000-year reign, all of it, Satan rising, coming out again. But why? It's futile. I know it. But it's God's way of saying, after 1,000 years, I'll give you one more chance. I'm thankful we have a God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance. People come up to you sometimes and say, Pastor Johnson, you believe in the second blessing? Yes, I do. And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. God of the second chance. Oh, yeah, like Jonah, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, the Bible says. You ever get a second chance from God? Mm-hmm. And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth? Yes. But we must understand something this morning. Dear people, look at this preacher today. There is a time when you get your last chance with God. Mercy and grace, my soul. Mercy is new every morning. Grace sufficient for every need. But God determines when you get your last chance. I do believe this morning. Friend, listen to me. I believe there are people sitting in this room. You're getting your last chance with God. I cannot tell you if it is or not. So, well, you're trying to intimidate me. If that doesn't intimidate you, friend, you are a fool. To think that God is going to give me one more chance, but this is it. This is your last chance. Chance to do what? Chance to trust Christ and get saved. The door of mercy and grace is not open for us to make our choice and just come to Christ when we feel like it. You come when you're drawn. You come when you're convicted. And you come when you see your need. And then there's a moment when God says, no more. And the door is closed. That's your last chance. You don't want to take that one. I don't know when it comes, but I know this. When it happens, it's your last chance. But for Christians, there's a last chance too. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know how many times I've stood in emergency rooms with people who've been shot, mangled in accidents, watching blood gush from every organ, every orifice of their bodies because they pushed the limit with God and they got their last chance. But it doesn't have to happen in an emergency room. It doesn't have to happen at a cemetery. You can get your last chance, walk out of this room this morning, cross the line with God and your child as a child of God, not lose your salvation, but get your last chance for mercy. And God puts you on the shelf, friend. Harden your neck, God destroys. No remedy, the Bible said. No repair. That's a last chance thing with God. So, you don't understand God, Pastor Johnson. No, you're the one who's mistaken this morning. There is the God of the last chance. The millennial reign is man's last chance. God has done it all now. Jesus is here. They see him. They don't have to believe anything. They can just see him. And after 1,000 years of peace and reign, Satan takes a moment and man rises up and goes after the Lord again. He says, that's it. Last chance. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you want to cross that line with God? I don't think so. If God is working on your heart and your life about something today that you know you need to take care of, that means he's still working. Well, I haven't had my last chance yet. But you don't you understand? When the last chance comes, you don't know it. Because you don't get another chance. It's the last chance. Millennial reign of Christ. Submission to Christ brings peace. Millennial reign of Christ. God's saying there's one last chance. And the millennial reign of Christ is proving to us once again, God will reign. God will. It'll be Jesus, dear people. Not going to be some charlatan reverend sitting up there. It'll be Jesus. It won't be some leader of a religion. It's Jesus. God reigns. God will reign. With Armageddon, we learn that God wins. With the millennial reign of Christ, we learn that God reigns. Jesus will rule and reign and bring all things under his submission and authority. It is so in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And look here. And it is so in your life and mine today. God will reign. Look here, friend. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, please stop using I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God as your excuse to go on and do what you want to with your life. God will reign.